my friend, Tiki Scratch,
Yo, mic check, 1, 2, episode 188, Serious Rap Shit Podcast. I'm John, your host.
I'm Josh, your other host.
And yeah, we about to get busy. What's going on, Josh?
I'm good, man. I'm chilling. Got out a little bit this weekend. Went and checked out a show on Saturday. I went and had some dinner, And then we stopped past, saw a show. And it was cool. It was a live performance, like a live performance from a band. It was nice. First live performance I've seen. I don't know how long now, dog. it's been forever. And it was great. Everything was going good. Band was great. I'm withholding the name for a reason. I'll tell you. You just got to take it out. So we're listening to bands playing. It was dope. The vibes is crazy. It's funky. And then they're like, yeah, man. The lead singer was like, yeah, man, you know, we got to be watching out for this 5G. And I was just like,
I knew it.
And they were great. Performance was great. All the way through, from beginning to end, performance was insane. A lot of energy, so funky. But as soon as they said that, I the whole time I was just like, I can't wait to tell people that. And they were just like, yeah, you know, we got to watch out for this 5G.
Oh, man. You know how fucked up that is to go see a band? You're venturing out. You're like, yo, I'm going to go, you know, Corona's happening, but fuck it. I'm going to go out. I'm going to play this show. And the band is anti-vax. You know, all the niggas around you, their fan base is probably anti-vax, too. Oh, man.
I mean, great performance by that band. They did a wonderful job.
What's their name? I'll take it out.
Yeah, I'm friends with the lead singer on social. So
yeah, I know the board. That does not surprise me.
yeah, exactly, exactly. Yes, I was like, I mean, kind of on brand.
Yo, wow, y'all niggas is out here. Wow.
I will say this though, it was a great performance. Like, no doubt.
Very talented individuals, yes. Shout out to y'all. Stop leading people astray. You already got at least 4G in your crib. Niggas kill me with that. Niggas be like, man, that 5G, what are you typing this on right now? How are you negotiating internet right now? I don't know. Do niggas have an off the grid internet? Can you even be off the grid on the internet?
Hard lining into that shit, like dial up or something. Like, dog. Thing when last year when Corona first hit and everybody was like, yo, it's 5G, it's 5G, it's 5G. I was reading an article and they were like, I mean, 5G's been around for a couple of years and polls have been set up and been available for a couple of years. We're just mass spreading 5G now. Like, we're actually putting it up more and more. But it had been around for a long time. It's just fucking people now. But I don't know, man. I just was like, damn, that kind of it really took me out. When he said it, I was just like,
you like, oh damn, oh, okay, damn.
This
kind of party.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I mean, it was good. I mean, all together though, it was a good night. It was nice to see a live performance of music because, I don't know how long it has been, and B, we might go back in lockdown because Lollapalooza is wild. Chicago is wilding right now. So,
man, it's crazy how much in the pop culture zeitgeist we've been talking about music festivals, like the Lollapalooza thing, and people seeing the aerial shots of this mass of people together during this pandemic. You got the Woodstock 99 thing. Also, the baby at Rolling Loud. Are we going to abolish music festivals this year? I've heard some people say it on Twitter. Man, we need to get rid of music festivals. It's real fucking rough.
I'm all for performers getting their money.
Yeah.
Right. but I'm also all for abolishing music festivals. Like, first of all, like, I don't even know what the lineup was for Lollapalooza. Like,
everybody.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, just on the simple fact that, like, artists are like, yo, I'm trying to get this bread. So, like, whatever they offered, a lot of people are probably like, yo, I'll do it just to get back out there.
Yeah.
A. And B, like, I'm sure festivals were like, yo, get anybody we can get on this thing just because people want to get out the house, so they're going to come, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. But, like, man, I saw those pictures, dog, and was like, hey, it doesn't look fun. Like,
right.
All those people right. just doesn't look fun. Being around all those people doesn't look fun. Not, like, before Corona, I didn't want to be around all those people.
Yeah.
Let alone, like, after Corona and, like, people just breathing on you. And I know they were, like, I saw some people, like, push back on, like, social media where they're like, oh, well, they're checking vaccination cards before you go in. I know people that are selling fake vaccination cards. So
facts. Oh, them shits look like the hall pass they used to give you when you was a kid. Like, it's, oh, you know, third period, lunch, yeah. whatever. Come on, man. You mean to tell me niggas can't make fake versions of that shit? That shit don't even look real. It's not even even Nino Brown and them had the little hologram in their cards and shit. This shit is like just a piece of paper with some lady's signature on it. That they gave me.
Like, I could take my vaccination card, scan it into a computer, and fucking make another, you know what I mean? Blank out all the stuff that's written on it, and then fucking print it up. Like, I don't know how to do any of this shit. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. I could do that. Like, making fake ones is nothing. Like, I'm not saying I'm trying to make no fake ones to sell them, you know what I mean? I'm just saying, the possibility is there.
Yeah, it's mad easy, yeah. You know and what also, I mean? You know, people crash the gates. People were crashing the gates.
Yeah, and then there was a bunch of video of that. Yes, then there was a bunch of video of people just crashing the gates. So, like,
security, I was watching one video, security, like, people are, like, storming the gates and shit. They're running past, hopping over the fence, and security grabs one dude who has, like, one leg. It was, like, one dude, he's, like, moving mad slow, and security comes and, like, yokes him up. Like, this shit is not effective, keeping people out. Like, come on.
Nah, it was really, you're watching and you're just going like, this is, I don't know, man, it just doesn't look, I mean, like, there's a whole bunch of cases coming out of Florida right now, and it's like a week after a Rolling Loud, where that was crazy. So I'm really just like push back right now for all that shit, dog. It's just, it really seems crazy to me that, like, the want to be around, like, the whole time when I was out over the weekend, I was like, oh, this is cool. It's nice to be out and, like, seeing a lot of performance of music and just being out enjoying people's company and shit. Mm-hmm. But then going, like, at the same time being like, you know what? I wouldn't mind be back in the house right now.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know if that's just a situation of, like, all right, I've exhausted my, like, social gas tank for the, you know what I mean? Because, like, I think there is an aspect of, like, warming back up to being outside type thing. You know what I mean?
Right. We've been, like, away from people.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to kind of work your way back into that shit. Some of us, some of y'all motherfuckers, you know, I see motherfuckers complaining. I'm thinking of one person in particular that I know on social media complaining about lockdown. Oh, they better not do another lockdown. I'm like, fam, I've been seeing you on social media. You haven't been in lockdown. You've been throwing parties. You've been hanging out and shit. You ain't been in no lockdown. So what are you like complaining about? You know what I mean? Some people been out here and they've been rocking.
Yeah, I see my one homie complaining about lockdown. And I was like, dog, I think you went on 4 vacations while we were in lockdown. So, like, you weren't on vacation. You weren't in lockdown. Like, you were on, like, 4 vacations.
This nigga be like his own travel show. Like, yeah. Boy. Yeah. I don't trust Americans to tell the truth. I don't trust Americans to I do trust Americans to believe in a conspiracy theory. You know what I mean? There are legit people who think that, I don't know if they think, like, they think the virus is fake and, like, you know, a million people or whatever the fuck it's been haven't died. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, niggas is, like, in a FEMA bunker somewhere just, like, hiding and, like, giggling. Like,
crisis actors. They're crisis actors.
Yeah, like, they think corona's real. You know what I mean? People who've, like, lost their parents and shit. All kind of stuff. But I don't trust Americans. I don't trust Americans with my own health.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You feel me? We go out. We still go out masked up. You know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers can't be up on me and shit.
Yeah, yeah, I don't like that.
You know what I mean? When before we left South Philly, me and Liz, we used to go to, like, on Passyunk, and we would hang. There's, like, a mural on Passyunk. We used to sit on, like, this little, like, ledge thing by the mural, and we, like, chill and shit. And this boy walked up, and you know how niggas on the street want to walk up and, like, hey, brother, brother. They want to holler at you for whatever fucking reason.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This nigga came close to me. I hit him with the, whoa, you got to back the fuck up. You know what I mean? I don't let nobody get up on me like that. It's been exceptions. Like, I've seen my people out in the world, and I've hugged them.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? Because I haven't hugged you in a while or whatever. But, like, in general, I'm like, mask and stay the fuck away from me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what it's going to be.
Dog, if I know you and I know you're vaccinated and that kind of shit, then you know what? Yeah, I'll come in through a, you know, like, you know, brother hug, like, yo, what's up? Ain't seen you in a while, blah, blah, blah. On general, somebody tried to shake my hand. I was at the dispensary the other day. Boy tried to shake my hand in the dispensary. Like, fam, I don't know you. Like,
who the fuck are you?
Yeah, like, yo, we can fist bump or we can touch elbows, but I'm not shaking your hand, fam. Like,
yeah.
Like, and why, always,
yeah, like, why?
All we were having was a conversation about basketball. Like, you know what I mean? And he was like, and they called him up to go pick his shit up. He was like, all right, man, I'm out. And, like, went to shake my hand. I was like, yeah. Be good, dog. Man, like, dog.
Motherfucker Ben Simmons, man. Am I right, nigga? You don't get the fuck out of here? Nah.
Yeah, I'm good. Side note. So, I know, like, somebody who knows somebody, right? Who said that a Dame trade is imminent.
To the Sixers?
To the Sixers. Now, they had...
Man, oh man.
They had... they had the Doc Rivers hiring before it happened, but we all kind of knew that one.
Yeah.
They had Daryl Morey to the Sixers, like, 2 days after he left the job with the Rockets. Like, I got a text from a friend.
This person.
Yeah. I got a text from a friend who was like, my friend who's, like, got some connections said Daryl Morey's, like, already signed, sealed, and delivered. He's coming. They're just not going to announce it for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
So they're saying a Dame trade is imminent. We'll see.
Did they say who we're giving up?
I mean, I'm assuming Ben and then, like, other pieces. But, no, they didn't give me that much detail. They just said, like, a Dame trade is imminent. Which, like, I'm all for it. I was looking at something the other day, and they were like, yeah, you know, maybe CJ. And I'm like, dog, Morey's not traded with – he's not trading with Portland unless it's Dame. Like, he's not going to go, like, you know what? Yeah, you won't give me Dame, so I'll take CJ.
Go and bring him over, yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck
so,
that.
I don't know. We'll see. You know. Man. Draft night was interesting. Also, apparently Tobias Harris is being shopped.
Is he?
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me, though.
Yeah, me neither. What surprises me is that because of that contract is crazy high. But
yeah,
no contract's untradeable, man. Like, Chris Paul, you know, before he was with the Suns this year, was traded twice with making $44 million a year. So, like, no contract's untradeable anymore in the NBA. Like, guys make shit work. So I heard there's a possibility for him to be in a Buddy Hield deal.
Really?
That will bring us back Buddy Hield. We'd probably have to take Marvin Bagley, who's actually, like, cousins to my – he's, like, my son's cousin.
Yeah, yeah.
All my kids' cousin, technically, because they're all the same mom. So technically it's all their cousins. But it's like her cousin's – kid or her cousin's kid or some shit like that, but it's their last name. They do have family here, so that's I've heard, but I don't know who the hell knows, but
Yeah.
I would love a Dame trade here, yo. I'm telling you, I got the mock-up in the jersey and everything. It's already sitting in my phone. Joint.
So you got the zero.
Yeah, as soon as it happened, I'm dropping it. Like, yeah,
man. I say this all the time on this show. I think I'm gonna shed a tear when the Sixers finally, you know, get another chip. And yeah. Dame, man, Dame and Embiid, I'm not mad.
Dog, imagine not Dame, mad. Embiid, and Hield just posting in the corner, like, catching. Because, like, I love Toby, and I think Toby's a good leader. I think he's a good voice in the locker room. He's really smart. He's
and the taking motherfucker could play.
Yeah.
I don't take that away from him.
The problem is, man, he doesn't shoot. He shoots, like, 2 threes a game, man.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's perfect. He would be perfect as our like six man off the bench in the sense that like he comes in, he can run some offense through him, and he gets in the post. He likes to get into that. His game reminds me of Carmelo so much, man. Mm-hmm. And like so much of that, like back you down and get a little post fadeaway, which is like pretty unstoppable for Tobias. But the problem is, it's like, if you already have Embiid in there in the post and Bang, who needs to be in the post, like there's no room.
Yeah.
You needed Drew to be like,
coming from,
we needed him to be like the dude who's putting up 6-7 threes a game. And that's just not what he, I guess, feels comfortable with. Yeah. And so, I mean, I think Tobias can be a piece to a winning team. I just don't know if he fits here in the simple fact that, like, I just don't know if he's going to, if he's not shooting 5 to 7 threes a game, if he's really going to help us, you know what I mean? Yeah.
He can play. He definitely can be our number two.
Nah, he can't. He's not a good enough scorer. Like, he can't. He doesn't. He thinks too much, dude. When you pass him the ball, you can like see the wheels turning in his head. And the more he's thinking, the more times he like then dribbles off his fucking foot. Or does some shit like that, and we watched it in the playoffs. Like, it happened a couple of times. So he's a nice player. He's just, like you said, he has to be a three on somebody's team as your best player. And like right now, we got a one and a three, and maybe a four as our players on the team, and that's just not going to be good enough, man.
No, not at all. You know, Embiid and Dame, yo, let's fucking do it.
Oh, it's gonna be so nice.
Yeah,
oh, it's gonna be so nice. They trying to get, apparently, supposedly the rumors are Kyle Lowry's gonna head to Miami in a signing trade, and DeMar DeRozan is going to join him. So that's,
I saw that earlier,
but we'll see. You know what I mean? Because he's talking about, oh, he'll take the mid-level exception. DeRozan's like, oh, he'll take the mid-level exception to come play there. Dog, that's nice to say when like no one's offering a contract on the table yet,
right?
But then when somebody starts going like, yo, we'll pay you fucking $20 million to come play here for 3 years, it's a lot harder to trade that, turn that $20 million down to be like, yo, I'll go play for $9 million in a mid-level exception.
Right. Right.
So
Jesus.
We'll see. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Free agent. Well, you know, by the time people can start hearing this, free agency will have already started. So we'll see.
Right.
Deal might already be done. You know what I mean?
I was gonna say, bring us Dame soon as it open up.
Yeah, I'm saying, so I'm a time mark this. It is 3:49 on a Monday afternoon when I'm saying these things. So, you know, if we fuck around and trade Ben for like Colin Sexton and Kevin Love, I don't want to get all like the hate. I'm just telling y'all what I've heard at 3:49 in the afternoon on a Monday.
Yeah.
So, I think we get to the topics for the week. I wanted to bring this up because I think it's actually a good thing in the long run, right? So we mentioned earlier that Rolling Loud happened like a week ago, whatever, 2 weeks ago, down in Miami. 2 weeks ago in Miami, and the baby made some disgusting homophobic comments, and he is rightfully getting the shit kicked out of him for it online and. And in the bank account, like, he's been dropped from a couple festivals and like appearances he was supposed to be making. Like, people have been dropping him left and right. And, you know, in the end, like, my son mentioned something to me about it. And he was just like, yeah, I mean, blah, blah, blah. But like, yo, cancel culture is like going. I was like, no such thing. I said, it's called being held accountable. And like, that's all that's happening. So
you said it.
Yeah.
You said it. It's crazy. Well, to start for whoever may not have heard this. You know what I mean? The baby, he was performing, and he was trying to do like a crowd participation kind of thing. So he's trying to get people to put their phones up, you know, with the light or whatever. And he's like, if you a man and you wasn't sucking dick in the parking lot, put your phones up. Or if you ain't coming here with AIDS and all kind of diseases and shit, put your phone up. So that's what he said. That's been, you know, getting him all of this, you know, as you said, righteous heat. And it's crazy because to think about like the cancel culture thing, which is really only a phrase that people use to skirt responsibility and avoid accountability. Rappers, I was thinking about this shit yesterday. Rappers largely organize their persona and their values around not accepting disrespect.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, you as an MC, somebody, you know, says something about you, nigga, say your name on a record. Anything that you take as disrespect, it's pretty much part of the code to not accept that and not allow that. Why is it any different when these cats can say homophobic shit, transphobic shit, you know, shit that women don't want to hear? But, you know, the audience can't say, yo, that's disrespectful. I'm not accepting that. But, you know what I mean? It's like, it's hypocritical. You know what I mean? The baby, this is a person who his whole public persona is, oh, if you step to me, it's going to be a problem. Or if you disrespect me, it's going to be a problem. Why is this any different? You know what I'm saying? If even, you know, I'm not gay, I'm not trans, I'm not a person who's HIV or AIDS positive. You know, why is it, and I hear that and take it disrespectfully and think that it's foul and uncalled for. Why am I required, if I were gay or if I were, you know, HIV or AIDS positive or any of that shit, why would I have to sit in a concert that I paid for and this nigga is talking shit on stage about me personally and my demographic? You know what I'm saying? Like, why am I to accept that? And if I don't accept it, then all of a sudden I'm woke and it's cancel culture.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm not accepting disrespect. And I think that I think what you were alluding to when you said, like, yo, it's a good thing that he's getting, you know, this heat. This shit's not acceptable like it was back in the day. And that's fine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They used to hang, you would go in the supermarket and they would hang posters of little black pickaninnies on the fucking wall. You know what I mean? And say, eat at, you know, nigger gyms or some shit. And black people in this country was like, no, fuck that.
Yeah.
So now that's not acceptable. And now your kids don't got to look at that shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the kind of world that we're moving towards.
Yeah. And that's the hope, right? Like, you hope, A, like, well, like, the hope is like, A, we're moving to a better world if that's what we're, if this is the reaction, right? Like, if it's like, hey, listen, yo, you're not going to be doing this shit. We're going to drop you from this. We're going to drop you from that. Like, the accountability is like at a different level, which is great. And also, you hope that, like, maybe this shit teaches fucking the baby a lesson. And he learns and goes, like, oh, maybe, like, and not even a lesson, right? Well, a lesson, but in the sense of, like, oh, I just need to keep my mouth shut next time. More like, oh, really, what I said was fucked up. And, like, because even his apology was fucking whack. Like, you know what I mean? His apology
he
was kind of
He ain't learn it yet.
Nah. So he definitely, like, his apology was weak and out of nowhere. And like, so I think the hope would be that, like, maybe this dude realizes, like, oh, like, what I did was fucked up and now I'm eating consequences. And that, like you said, and that's part of the problem with, like, the idea of, like, cancel culture, and that word cancel culture is because it skirts its responsibility culture and, like, accountability culture. Like, it's the first time where people in marginalized communities can hold people accountable. You know what I mean? Because of the internet. And, like, that's the thing. It's like people go, like, oh, well, the Twitter woke mob is going to come after you and blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, the big difference is that Twitter and other social media platforms give people a platform to voice their opinions and voice their concerns and voice their disillusionment with like these things that are happening. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, I watched, so I was on Twitter and someone posted like, oh, look at Bill Maher like crying about the Olympics. And like, so I pulled it up and like 2 minutes in, I was just like, I turned it off. I was like, I don't want to listen to this. But he like, he makes a statement and he goes like, this has been one of the wokest Olympics ever. And like people clap in the audience and he's like, that's not a good thing. And then he goes, blah, blah, and it's just like,
yeah.
And then he makes a joke that lands flat and then no one laughs. And he's like, where do we get this crowd? It's like, dude, you're not funny. First of all, you haven't been funny. But on top of that,
straight up,
you're like, people aren't required to laugh at your shitty jokes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
This idea that I don't think that art should be tailored to everybody's particular, you know, likes and dislikes, whatever, you know. But when you put shit out in the world, nobody's required. Like, nobody's required to get Bill Maher yet another check or the baby yet another check. I don't understand. What is ill to me is that I see people who, you know, are poor and working class, you know what I mean, going to bat for these millionaires, you know what I mean, being held accountable or even beyond being held accountable, you know, the audience not resonating with what they do. And I see, like, poor working class people going to bat about this. And I wonder, like, what's this shit about? What are you invested in? But I think that people, you know, I don't think that I'm off base here. I don't think I'm projecting. I think that motherfuckers, they want to be able to say, you know, slurs. They want to be able to say, you know, foul shit or whatever they want to say in their own life. You know what I mean? Yeah, people understand that we're engaging in a culture war, essentially. And like, because I even see, you know, my algorithm knows that I love hip hop and podcasts and all of this shit. So I get all of these other niggas' podcasts, you know what I mean, where they're talking about, They're whining about cancel culture too.
Yeah.
So I've been seeing people who prior to this, you know, didn't even fuck with the baby. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The motherfuckers who are like the real hip hop. Oh yeah. Now they're on his side. Yeah, you know what I mean? They're on his side. You couldn't pay these dudes to listen to the baby or any other trap shit or whatever, you know, you want to call it. But now they're on his side too, because I'm waiting. I don't know, he offended gay people or whatever.
I'm waiting because I saw, I realized this dude who he's from a prominent like 90s rap group. I'm not even gonna name him because I don't want to give him the sense. But he was from a prominent 90s rap group and was a favorite of a guy who did interviews who was the feds, essentially. He apparently has a podcast, and it like somehow popped up in my, like you said, in the algorithm of like people know I like, you know, the algorithm knows I like hip hop, algorithm knows I like podcasts, so it decided to throw it to me. And like, this dude was like railing on Lil Nas X stuff. So like, I already know, like, I'll probably just like, when he records it or whatever, it'll probably pop up somewhere in my feed, and he'll be same dude who probably was trashing the baby like a month ago because, you know, oh, it's not real hip hop, will now be all over the baby side. And it's like,
I've seen it. I don't know. I know who you're talking about. I don't know how they're going to spin it in particular, but I've seen that from other cats, definitely.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know, man. I just look at it and I go, it's probably good. Like, hey, listen, man, Michael Che is getting righteously dragged for his shitty, like, and the crazy thing was, dude, they're not even your jokes. You just reposted shit other people posted to you. So now you're getting dragged because you weren't even smart enough to be like, oh, I shouldn't repost this shit.
Right. And the Michael Che thing bugs me out, and I'm kind of like connecting a dot, you know what I mean, with this shit and with what the baby said. You know, Michael Che made a joke about or alluded to, you know, someone else's joke about Simone Biles. Simone Biles, outside of her being you know, a great athlete, you know, once in a generational talent, as they say, and all of that shit. She's somebody who was, you know, sexually abused in this sport, right? And even beyond that, she's a young black woman, right?
Yeah.
What is it about you, Michael Che, who's, you know, in your fucking 40s or however old this nigga is, that says you see this young black woman in pain?
Yeah.
And you say, oh, I want to make a joke about that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The baby, as a black man, you see how maybe he don't know. You know what I mean? He a young nigga. Maybe he don't know. AIDS, HIV ravaged the black community and destroyed a lot of people's lives. What is it about you that make you want to attack those people specifically? You know what I mean? Masculinity and manhood, the shit, it can be a prison or it can be a springboard for something greater to protect your community and to take care of the most vulnerable amongst us. It's your choice.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And a lot of cats want masculinity as a means of dominating others, as a means of exploiting and abusing others, but it don't gotta be that way.
No,
you know what I'm saying? It don't gotta be that way.
No, it's so polluted when you hear like people talk about, oh, I like traditional masculinity where, like, you know, the man takes care of the people. Like, well, do you realize like emotionally taking care of someone is just as important as physically being able to take care of someone?
Yeah, like financially or
something. Yeah, like you, if you want to be like the quote unquote traditional masculine, like you, then you need to be taking care of people on across, you need to take care of your family across all boards. And that means emotionally supporting them as well. And that means not fucking tearing people down just because they hit you have an opportunity to. And you know, like I said, like the biggest thing, it's just so dumb for Michael Che where it's just like, dog, these aren't even like, I can see if it's like, oh, I was getting these jokes off, they were in poor taste and it was stupid. Like you reposted jokes that other people post, like sent to you. Like how stupid can you be and think like I'm not gonna get dragged for this?
Right.
Like, especially after the week after they announced the Michael Che show got picked up for a fucking second or whatever the show is called that he has on HBO. Like, it just got announced you got picked up for a second season. I wouldn't be surprised if in a week we find out that's not happening because HBO's like, hey, listen, we don't want to be involved.
Yeah. Like nobody's required to financially support you. You know what I'm saying? You millionaires who've been, you know, you've been successful and you've been doing your thing. Nobody's required to that, you know, to do that.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I did want to mention, you mentioned the Woodstock 99 documentary. I wanted to bring this up with you because I watched it yesterday. I know you watched it Saturday, right?
Yeah.
So I watched it yesterday. First thing I take from it. Limp Bizkit was really, really popular at one time. Like, it's insane how popular Limp Bizkit was at one point. Yeah.
Like, they're kind of like a joke now. Like, you said, Limp Bizkit. But, yeah, man, that whole Limp Bizkit, Korn, that whole era, you know what I mean? Like, new metal, rap rock, whatever they call it. But, that shit was popping.
Kid Rock, too. Kid Rock's part of that same.
Kid Rock, 100%, yeah.
And I do see like the direct parallel between like that generation is probably a large segment of what rushed the Capitol on January 6th. Like that,
the
like
MAGA shit.
Dog, I'm telling you, like, first of all, you know, Kid Rock is like 100% MAGA now. You know what I mean? Yeah. Which is always funny to me because that dude originally started as a rapper. Like, that's what he was. He was a rapper. He's essentially a
high top fade.
Yeah. He was like a bite of Vanilla Ice almost. And he might actually predated Vanilla Ice.
He might have actually.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think because he started a little earlier than Vanilla Ice. He just wasn't as popular. Vanilla Ice got popular at the time. So then he like kind of reinvented himself as this mixture of like a rat rock type person, and then he just went like pure country music, and like his evolution is really wild to me, but. The crazy part is we're watching it happen again because you're just watching it happen with Post Malone. Post Malone used hip hop to get in. You know what I mean? Even though, like, we, like, I remember you posted, was it you that shared the video of him, like, doing,
The Bob Dylan
cover? The Bob Dylan covers in, like, in talent shows or some shit, like, or, like, open mics. And he used hip hop to get himself into the culture. And now, like, you know, I think we even talked about this a couple years ago, was like, oh, if I want to listen to lyrics, I don't listen to hip hop. And, you know, now he's trying to make that same pivot to, like, oh, now, you know, I'm a country music guy now, blah, 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 blah. Or a rock star.
Machine Gun Kelly.
Machine Gun Kelly,
new music sound like fucking Good Charlotte or some shit. You know what I mean? It's a common thread that white musicians, obviously this is not all white musicians, a common thread of white musicians doing that shit, like getting into black culture, you know, making their bones that way, and then pivoting to, you know, the larger, more profitable white market.
And that's not even like, that's not even for me, like, it's not like it's a, oh, you're a phony or anything like that, because I think, like, you can look at a dude like Everlast, who still has plenty of respect in hip hop communities, because, like, he also never went on to be like hip hop's trash.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he understands, like, where he comes from and, like, you know, what culture originally, like, he came up through. Like, I don't think you're going to see Eminem, like, all of a sudden in 10 years come out as, like, a country music guy. Like, it's...
Right.
I think there's certain people who do respect the culture that they come from. But, like, yeah, there's a lot of these dudes out there. And, like, that's why Yellow Wolf did something very similar, too. Like, he pivoted to, like, country, more country-sounding music and all that kind of shit. So... I always find it weird. Like, I watch that kind of stuff, and I mean, I don't know what music Limp Bizkit's making now, or if they're even making music now. Who the hell knows? I just saw a picture of him. Fred Durst kind of looks like, what was the dude's name? Horatio Hornblower, whatever dude's name for the Beasties, who was like, what's his name, was dressing up as, and he was like their videographer or whatever.
Oh.
Fred Durst low key looks like that dude, just not with the hat and shit.
Dog, that's, you know, cats used to jokingly talk about, you know, like white counterculture, like white countercultural folks, punks, you know, hip hop kids, and they, you know, it was like a common phrase I would hear people say, oh, you know, when you're done with this, all you got to do is put on a suit, and, you know, you're all good for the rest of your life. And it's a common thread, you know, amongst, like, white youth who are in the counterculture. There's some folks who stay in it, you know what I mean? We all know, you know, old white hippies and old white anarchists, you know what I'm saying, who are still out and rocking, old white, you know, older, like, white hip-hop heads and shit, who are still doing their thing and still, you know, connected to the culture. But it's, yeah, it's a common thing, you know, sliding out. And I, you know, my thing is, like, you know, I don't want, or I don't really care, but I, you know, I'm not wishing that Kid Rock kept making the music that he was making in, you know, 1990 or whatever. I'm not saying Post Malone can't pick up a guitar. My problem is when these folks, you know, make their name in black culture and then pivot to something that's, like, specifically racist and anti-black. You know what I mean? Kid Rock can vote for whoever the fuck he wants to. But you coming out trying to be, you starting in hip hop and then coming out trying to be, you know, the next Ted Nugent or whatever, and aligning yourself with a movement that we all know is racist, that shit to me is like nonsense.
Yeah, especially, you feel me? I mean, I'm pretty sure he has, like, a mixed kid as well. Like, one of his kids, I think, is mixed.
I think his kid is, like, half black.
Because I think he had a kid with Midori, the porn star, John. I could be wrong about that.
Jody.
Yeah, I could be wrong about that, but I'm almost sure that's true. That's the point, right? Like, it's like, if you're going to come up in the culture, at least be respectful of the culture. Like, you know what I mean? And when you pivot, like, because it's like, you know, I've talked about before on this podcast, I love when I watch an artist like Andre 3000 then explore outside avenues other than just hip hop for his creation, you know, creativity. So it's fine if, like, you want to, like, pick up a guitar and start doing that kind of shit or do whatever, right? The issue is if you don't respect the culture that you come from, and when you pivot to the MAGA Allie, you're directly insulting the culture that you say you came up in.
Yeah.
So I,
yeah, that's the thing. Like, if you know, tomorrow I decided to dedicate myself to, I don't know, like some like Eastern mm-hmm. Asian culture or whatever. You know what I mean? I'm not 5 years after that gonna pivot into like some yeah. anti-Asian shit. I don't understand that trajectory. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just weird to me. What were you thinking that whole time you were like super hip hop?
Mentioned before of being able to be like, well, I can just put on a suit when this is done and it's changed. I think there's an aspect of like putting on a costume. You know what I mean? This is loving Marvel, and then when you grow, you know, you hit your 30s, you go like, oh, I don't like this kind of stuff anymore, or like it's that kind. Yeah. It's essentially you're just playing at something, and
yeah, that's why.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say that's why we be so hard on like y'all.
That's where I was going.
You know what I mean? Like, that's why we be so skeptical of that shit. You know what I mean? Because we've seen this dance too much. You know what I mean? I don't be clocking nobody really. You know what I'm saying? You white, you love hip hop. What the fuck ever. You know what I'm saying? But I do keep in the back of my mind the understanding that historically, you know, white youths in America have taken on black music and black counterculture shit as kind of like a rebellious thing, and then abandoned it later. You know what I'm saying? There's no amount of goodwill that I extend to a white hip hop head or whoever that will allow me to forget that history. Say what you want to say about
it. It's always weird to me because like that whole like because Rage was at that show as well, right? And so all those people mm-hmm. listen to all that Rage music for all those years to grow up and be like, vote for Trump. Like, it's really wild to me. Yeah. It's like, did you not listen to the music? I ingest music differently than like some people or whatever. And like, this shit kind of mattered. Like, we've dedicated our lives to like some aspects of this culture, you know, this culture in general, like we've dedicated our lives to it. But like, just the, in the sense of, like, music in general, I just go, like, did you not listen to any of this? But I guess it's very similar, though, to, like, and this is where, like, when I was watching that documentary, they kept making, like, oh, well, it wasn't the same as 69. It wasn't the same as 69 because it was so corporate. Yeah, and that's completely true. Like, 69, mm-hmm. like, the original Woodstock was kind of like a fluke thing that happened. Like, it wasn't supposed to be what it was. It was like much more spontaneous, and obviously 99 was like a direct put on, like it was purposely put on for a corporate mm-hmm. interest and shit. But I looked at it and it was like, okay, and that's true, but that is that culture those people that were at 69 are part of like the reason we're in the place we're in this country in the first place, because like that boomer generation mm-hmm. that grew up and voted for Nixon and voted for fucking Reagan and Bush again, like, you know, like and Clinton, like they're a part of the reason, like, because even if they didn't go like full on Republican, they went neo-lib and like, you know, like, so that whole generation who was like, oh, I'm anti-war and we're this and we're that, free love. And like, you know, there was so much politics of that time that were really kind of ignored and like how we look at Woodstock anyway. But then like you just make that connection and then you go like, well, the people that went to Woodstock 99 were Gen X, and like Gen X is part of the reason why we're in the position we're in now as well. Because then they came up and voted for, you know, probably tail end. Some of them probably were able to vote tail end Clinton. They voted for, like, Bush won crazy. Like, you know what I mean? And then you have the Obama era. Mm-hmm. Then Trump. It's like, hey, man, like, there's a direct through line through all this kind of stuff. Like, there's no bullshit. That's a direct through line. And
yeah, we tend to think of history kind of like chapters in a book, like, oh, it was the civil rights, and then that chapter closed, and then, you know, the 80s came, and then that closed. But no, like you said, it's a direct through line, and it's a continuum. Absolutely. You know what I mean? It's not something that ever ends. You know what I mean? It just bleeds into the next
thing. Talked to, like, because my mom was part of that generation, so I've talked to her before about it, just being like, you know, I'm not trying to be funny, but, like, you know, a lot of your generation was like, oh, anti this, and fight, blah, 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 blah. And then they went and got city jobs and, like, kind of just moved on with their life.
Got real cool with a bunch like, of this shit.
You know, the same anti-war generation of, like, the 60s and 70s then became, like, cool, like, let's go bomb Iraq. Like, you know what I mean? And became perfectly fine with, like, secret wars and all kinds of shit like that because they voted for it. And, you know, I think there's... I definitely see, like, the direct through line to from 69 to 99 to then, you know, January 6th. Like, there's a lot of that same energy, you know what I mean? And I will say this real quick.
Yeah.
I would never want to be in a crowd like that at Woodstock 99. But I will say when the scenes and you're seeing Fred Durst, like, Limp Bizkit and them perform and that whole crowd is rocking – I can't lie. Shit looks dope. And, like, as you're on stage looking at it, you're like, that's a lot of fucking power to have, like, 20,000, 30,000, 40,000 people moving as one unison back and forth. That shit is crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, when we watched it, I had a similar thought when Kid Rock was on stage and he came up. He's like, my name is Kid. I was like, yo, that shit probably hit crazy. Like, it's probably like a fucking tidal wave when that shit happened. And I think that that's, you know, we talk about Lollapalooza and Rolling Loud earlier and now talking about Woodstock. That's the reason we jokingly say, you know, oh, abolish, you know,
festivals.
Music festivals. That's the reason why people do that shit. It's like
community
and shared experience. I think what Woodstock 99 did wrong was that it seemed like it was massively, like, poorly planned, like, on a broad scale. But then also I wonder if their intentions were good, you know what I mean? Because they talked about how in the earlier festivals, they had issues with stopping people from storming the gates and getting in for free. So they decided to have it host the concert or the festival in this basically like a blacktop
an army
square,
barracks, an old army barracks.
You know what I mean? You feel me? Just and they picked it because it was walled off and that they couldn't, that people couldn't crash the gate. So your number one intention was making money and charging people. So it just, I just wonder, I think that there were all these other cultural elements in the air that they talked about. You know, the late 90s culturally for me, specifically around like rock culture and like the sort of like mainstream culture was like a barren fucking wasteland. You know what I'm saying? To me, I remember feeling like that as a young person. Like I despised Limp Bizkit and nu metal and all of that shit that was on the radio. I didn't like hip hop. It was different because you had like Jay and like Outkast and all of that shit. But a lot of the stuff from that side of the cultural zeitgeist I didn't fuck with. And I thought that it promoted a kind of attitude that I didn't like. So it was kind of like the festival was kind of like a perfect storm of bad shit. You had a bad culture and also bad planning and bad intentions. People were getting raped at that
fucking
festival.
And then the people that were running it were so, like, 22 years later, still, like, pushing off accountability where it was like, oh, well, it wasn't us. It was and they legit victim-blamed were saying, like, well, the women that were walking around naked, I mean, not saying it was their fault, but it is kind of their fault. And it's like, no, this is, like, even the bull from Offspring comes on stage and he's like, hey, I'm, like, seeing some shit in the crowd that I'm not really happy with. Like, do not touch women. Like, you know, like, this is wild. But I appreciate in the interviews, like the later, like the Today interviews, the one dude from there is like wearing a Black Lives Matter shirt. Like, that's directly like you wanted to do that because you wanted to put that on TV. So, like, I did fuck with that.
Right.
Made me think about, like, damn, what if Offspring wasn't that bad of a band? I never was really into them, so I wouldn't know. But you're right. And what's crazy is even hip hop at that time, like late 90s, early 2000s, is like that when Swiss shit started to get really popular. Swiss and Timberland got really popular. And there were so many imitators of like that keyboard sounding beats and shit like that. So even hip hop wasn't the best at that time either. You know what I mean? Like you had good shit, but other shit was bad.
Yeah. The bad shit like was really outweighing, especially in the mainstream space. The bad shit musically, you know, I've seen in the past few years people be real nostalgic for the late 90s, which, you know, makes sense because we're on like this 20-year pop culture nostalgia loop. But I said it back then, like I would say, like, yo, the 90s ended in 97. You know what I mean? Like I never fucked with the late 90s, you know, from like a cultural standpoint. But it's the documentary, the Woodstock 99, get the
it's music it box, like, I think, or Woodstock 99, because I think it's going to be like a group of music documentaries, because when I pulled it up, it says like season one, episode one.
Yeah, I hate Googling while we're on mic, but yeah, Woodstock 99, Peace, yes, Love, and Rage, Music Box. Yeah, yo, it's really well done. They connected so many dots culturally, and you feel, I kind of felt like I was back. I didn't go to this festival. I felt like I was back in that era.
Absolutely. I like watching it, you're like, oh, yeah, like I remember, because I remember Offspring being huge. And obviously, I remember when Limp Bizkit was huge. Dave Matthews Band, like, you know, the Chili Peppers were there. I know that, and Rage were there, but neither one of them they showed very much. But then they had like Alanis Morissette, like some of like the people they had performing, and the mixture of it was really weird.
Yeah,
fucking yeah, performed,
and Sheryl Crow, and they were the only three women. Yeah. I think it was. Sheryl Crow, Alanis Morissette,
yeah, because I think
performed
the Roots were there. I didn't even remember the Roots being there. My favorite part was like,
right,
Thought was talking about, he was like, yeah, I don't know why I thought, because my sweater didn't have sleeves, that it wouldn't be hot. But I was like, yeah, dog, like it was like 100 degrees, and you had, and
yeah, he had a fucking sleeveless and you are joint.
A veteran performer at that point, like you had toured all over the world by then, you should know.
Yeah, by 99, that was not his first festival. No,
you should
at all.
Know that it's going to be at warm. Like, but yeah, I mean, it definitely, it's really well done. And I do like that, like, they interview the promoters and shit, but then they interview people, like, giving the contrary opinion to being like, no, like, it was a lot on them. Like, they were fucked up. They weren't paying attention. Like, he talked about, like, you know, because, like, there's one scene specifically where the promoter goes, like, yeah, we hired the best security. And then they cut to an interview and dude's like, none of us knew what we were doing. We just hired a bunch of people off the street. Yeah. He was like, I got the job because of a friend. Right. Like, he brought us in. Jeez. And then later on they go like, oh yeah, a bunch of those guys got their credentials, worked the first day, and then just bailed. And just were in the festival.
They just like waited off, into the crowd. Which, you know, if I was 19 then, fam. If you would have gave me all access pass,
and that's what the one guy, I think the guy said he was like he was a 19-year-old. Like 20 or something. I think the guy who was working, they said, I was like, that was 20. Yeah.
Hire kids. Yeah. A kid's not gonna, you know, the meme where like, I think it's Squidward.
Oh yeah, Squidward's, and he's watching people run out
outside. SpongeBob and Patrick are like, wee, they're like having fun, dog. I promise you, at 19, if you would have hired me, yeah, bro, we go do security. I'd have did the same shit. I'd have worked the first day, and then I'd be like, you know what? We party. Yeah. Fuck that. You know what I'm saying? I would have been in the
mix. Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, listen, man. I think about that when I'm like at a basketball game or some shit, and I'm watching people like or security like standing there with their back to the game. I'm like, I couldn't even. I just couldn't do it. Like my own nature would be like.
Yeah.
Turning around trying to see what's happening, as people are cheering and shit like that, I wouldn't be able to do it. So like, no, there's no way at like 20 years old you would have gave me money and like gave me a bunch of money to work that day, gave me a fucking all-around press credential, and then or like security credential, and I would just pocketed that shit and left. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You telling me that's security that
Hire. But it's a great, I think it's really good, man. And like you said, it really transports you back to that time. Like you're seeing these artists and you're like, oh yeah. And like Kid Rock was huge. MTV, dog, I didn't even recognize the one guy from MTV who used to host like TRL sometimes when Carson Daly wasn't there. Because his hair is longer and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, oh shit. Like when they showed him young and then showed him again, I was like, oh, that's who that was. Like, you know what I mean? But MTV like bailed on their coverage of that. Like 2 days in, they were like, yo, we're out. Mm-hmm. Like, this is insane.
Dog, they had Carson Daly on stage. People were like throwing shit. It was a mountain of a wave of garbage. People was throwing them at him. And like
I loved like the one promoter was like, MTV, but he was kind of shitting on MTV and shit, and he was just like, hey, and then that Kurt Loder, he wasn't giving us any slack, and I was like, no, he was like holding you accountable because like Kurt Loder was the one real news person at the fucking at the channel.
Yeah, homeboy really, he did throw like a little shot at Kurt Loder. He's like, that guy, he basically was like, he thinks he's like a wartime reporter or some shit. Like, nah, dog, he's not fucking jerking y'all off for this dangerous festival where people are dying of hypothermia and women are being raped and assaulted.
Dude, it's amazing like, more people didn't die. Like, it really is more people didn't die. It's crazy that more people didn't die.
Yeah. It was multiple people that said they had like hypothermia. Yeah. It's just one guy happened to pass away from it. And he really passed away from what they explained. We got to get off of this. But from what they explained, he passed away because
they didn't know what they were doing. Yeah, they
wasn't proper. He had hypothermia and had like an episode, but they was doing treating it
different.
They didn't have the proper like means to treat him. So I hope his family got a fucking crazy class action.
I saw at the end they do say like they only made like the city made like $200,000 out of it when they were like promised millions, but after like settlements and like lawyers and all shit, they made like $200,000 out of it, which is like that's not a lot. They could have had a pumpkin festival and it made
not even worth it.
I think we should get to our new music for the week. Did you listen to anything new?
I did. I listened to Isaiah Rashad, The House
Fucking
Is Burning.
Good record, yo.
Yeah.
Like,
First,
I was thinking about this is like when I first threw it on, I was like, this sounds like a perfect summer album. Like, it just feels summery. And then I was thinking about it and I was like, I think West Coast dudes make some of the best summer music. And maybe that's because like it's summertime out there all the time. So they make music that feels like warm. You know what I mean? But like this album is so good, man. So good.
It's a beautiful record. Apparently he went through some like personal shit, struggling with like addiction and all of that. He makes mention of that throughout the record. But yeah, like it's crazy. A lot of because I know he's like based in LA now, but I think is he from the South?
I think he's from the South.
You know, forgive me if I'm wrong. You know what this reminded me of a lot, especially like the hooks and like the vocal harmonies. It reminded me of like Goody Mob.
Yeah, you know I can see that.
Like a lot of that, the hooks on this record, it's like these beautiful like stacked harmonies. It feels like honey or like molasses or some shit. You know what I mean? And it's like you said, it's summery, it's breezy.
Even with heavy topics sometimes, it still feels kind of light and summery.
Yeah. It's not music that's not substantial. No. You know what I'm saying? It's not frivolous music at all. He's spitting on this shit. Uzi fucking skated on this record. You know what I mean? Which I love, our good bro from Philly. Yeah, it's just this record. I loved his last one. Sun's Tyree.
It was a banger.
This shit, they both. I might like Sun's Tyree a little bit more, but they, you know, this is in the same weight class. You know what I mean? And I felt like the Sun's Tyree, if it had been bigger, I would call it a classic record. You know what I mean? It's a flawless record. This, I don't think, is flawless, but it's very close.
It's a little long.
It's really good.
But it is really good. Yeah. It's such a good record, man. I listened to it a couple times over the weekend, too. Like, it wasn't like I just threw it on to listen to it. Mm-hmm. I listened to it a couple times over the weekend because it feels so. And maybe it's a thing of just being like, even though we got new music all through the pandemic, this is the summer where like we were like allowed out a little bit more. So like putting this record on kind of feels good to be out in public and shit like that. So yeah, I think it's a really good record. If you have not checked it out yet, definitely, you know, this
highly
the Isaiah Rashad record is so good. I also checked out Skepta. I don't know if it's considered an EP or not, but like he released a new project called All In. And really good, man. Really, really, really good. You know, the beats he's done, he's doing some of the production himself, and like the beats are really dope. Skepta bringing it on the mic like he always does. He got a joint with J Balvin that's fucking amazing. I don't know how much play it'll get here, but I'm sure over there it'll probably get a ton of play. It's really dope, called All In. I think people should check it out. Again, you know, if you like Skepta in any type of way, you'll dig it. I don't know if it's like an entry point record for people like who are trying to get into like grime or some shit like that. I don't know if it'll work, but it is if you like Skepta in any way, you'll dig this record. So
right, yeah, I'm gonna check that shit out. Yeah. I love Skepta, and he don't really miss.
Dope, so dope.
You know what I'm saying?
But besides that, we can start wrapping up. You can find us on all social media at Serious Rap Shit on Instagram and Twitter. You are John_Liberator on Instagram and Twitter. Mm-hmm. I am INDI_SRS on Instagram and Twitter. We have a TikTok. I never post on there, though.
I'm going to start doing dances and shit for TikTok.
But we have a Vivo channel. We have a partnership with Vivo. A lot of shit goes up there. Go check it out. If you just go to YouTube and you put Serious Rap Shit Vivo, it will pop up. Make sure you subscribe there. We have shit that goes up there that's exclusive there. Like, it doesn't go up anywhere else. It'll never be on this feed. We have a whole basic bonus episode where we talk about our favorite producers that's dropping in a couple days, in like 2 weeks. And that will only be there. But it's like a 50-minute conversation between me and you. So, like, if you fuck with the podcast, then you need to be subscribed to the Vivo channel, because there's just shit that goes up there that doesn't go anywhere else. We do trailer reviews. We do a whole bunch of shit. And we have some more stuff, like, coming. So every 5 days, something goes up there. So it's constant content all the time. You know, just some more Serious Rap Shit for you guys. Also, we have the website, seriousrapshit.com, where you can get all our merchandise. It's in the links in our bios. But you get your t-shirt, your mugs. You can hit up Incense Trap and Yoga and get the Abolish Ice t-shirt. That's still available. And other than that, if you're listening to this in Apple Podcasts, rate and review us. I know their app sucks right now. Like, mine updated and it barely works sometimes. It's fucking shitty. I don't know. Like, they need to work that bug out. But if you're listening to this in the Apple Podcast app, rate and review us right there. You can do it. It really helps us out. Gets us in the algorithm and all that that happy shit. So if you can do that, appreciate it. Other than that, we'll be back next week. Peace.
Peace.
Me and my friend take his rap too.